The great deception that has been pulled on men since the beginning of time is that we need a woman in our lives to feel whole, to be fulfilled. But the truth is, we can reclaim our masculine authority by rejecting the narrative that remaining single constitutes a failure. We dismantle the whole social idea that getting married is better than finding internal fulfillment in our lives. When we walk away from the lopsided contract that dictates how our lives are going to be led and how a marriage can define us, we reclaim our full, healthy masculinity. Today, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about how to find fulfillment in your life with or without a woman. Because, quite frankly, women are not important to this process. They are extraneous to it. Fulfillment and women are not related in any way, shape, or form. It's only the belief that we need that woman in our life to achieve fulfillment that causes us so much difficulty and pain. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. I was lucky to be a teenager in the 1980s because it was at that time when it seemed like there was some kind of balance, an equilibrium, if you will, between men and women. Feminism had done its thing and it had created equal rights, and all of that 60s and 70s drama was behind us. And we had found in this era a space where it felt like men and women were on equal footing, at least from my perspective, you know, as a teenager at that time. Technology was not interfering with our relationships. But yet, there was still this underlying pull, push, if you will, to pair up, to have relationships. That in some way, we were incomplete as men unless there was a woman in our lives. And so I spent much of my free time pursuing women, pursuing relationships. And I had some wonderful relationships. I'm not saying that I didn't or that there was anything wrong with that. But that feeling of being incomplete without one was ever present. It was always there. There was no way to escape that idea that without a woman in your life, you were not complete. Listening to the music of the 80s, and I do that still to this day, because it's still some of the best music ever written. Listening to bands like Journey, or even, you know, like even some ballads by Led Zeppelin. I mean, even all the hair bands had ballads that talked about this ache inside us, this loneliness, this need to be fulfilled with this relationship. It was just so critical to our self-identity that I remember having that state of limerence, not for any particular girl or for a particular woman, but just for any girl, any woman, just in general, the sense of not wanting to be alone, that this idea that loneliness was so prevalent, that it was something that was inflicted upon me, that I was somehow not whole unless I could have that woman. And so I spent so much time, energy, money, just obsessing over the idea of how I was going to get my next girlfriend, you know? And if I broke up with a girl, you know what? It wasn't even a matter of whether I had, for most of my time, strong feelings for that particular girl. I'd just get a new one, and then a new one, and a new one. It was just always having someone there. Now, there was a moment, there was a time when I had a steady girlfriend for a couple of years, and when we broke up, the loss of that relationship was like breaking a long-term addiction. It was painful. I considered it heartbreak. Like I was broken at a very deep and profound level. That was my belief. That was my belief, that I was broken at a very deep and profound level, and that I needed to find someone new to fix it. I needed to find someone else out there to fix it. And this is the problem that we men face. This is the illness that inflicts us and holds us back from achieving greatness in our lives. And this is what I want to get into today. I was talking to a guy earlier today, a young guy, probably in his 30s, and he said he sleptwalked into a marriage. He sleptwalked into a marriage. Let's just get our heads around what that phrase means. That's a direct quote from him. It means that he wasn't thinking. He wasn't aware of the ramifications. He was ignoring the red flags. He was allowing his emotions, his need to avoid loneliness, to create this relationship. And this relationship is uniquely bad on many, many levels. He's only been married for a short time, a couple of years, but this is a uniquely bad relationship. And I won't get into the details because I don't want to bear it out too much, but it's a bad relationship, trust me. And so when I talked to him about leaving her and getting a divorce, the first thing he says, but what about the loneliness? What about the loneliness, John? What do I do about that? How do I deal with the loneliness? And I was like, oh man, that freaking loneliness. It just completely clouds our judgment. And it inflicts all of us. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're broken because you feel lonely. I mean, that is the default setting, okay? That is the default setting for human beings. It's the default setting for men. But it's not necessarily true. It's not something that is objectively out there in the world and true and something that you must accept. It's something that we have control over. And this is the point that I was trying to make with him, and I'm going to try to make with you guys here, and why I think this is so critically important. You cannot be a fully healthy, when I use the term masculine, I'm going to define that in a second, but masculine man, so long as loneliness is pulling your chain. Because it's not necessarily the women that are pulling your chain, quite honestly. Women are just women. They just behave the way they behave. Once you understand their behaviors, you can have them or not have them. It's your choice. But the loneliness, that's your enemy. Not them. Not the women out there in the world. It's your idea, your belief that you are lonely and that you need a woman to become a whole man. That is the poison that you are inflicting upon yourself day in and day out until you come to terms with it. And it will control you. It will control you from now until the day you die if you let it. So how do you get control of it? First of all, let's start by defining what are the real critical elements of a masculine man? I know that in other videos I've talked about building out a masculine frame and all that, and there is still a lot of validity to that, but the process of building out the frame is what pulls upon the masculine characteristics. So the frame is just a physical manifestation of masculinity. It's not masculinity in and of itself. Masculinity really boils down, when you pare everything down, to two simple characteristics, two simple concepts. And once you get your head into these things, you're going to start seeing them in archetypes, in characters, in movies, and that sort of thing. And once you have it, you'll never forget it. Because it really just boils down to these two things. One is wisdom. Masculinity is wisdom. And two is courage. Masculinity requires courage. Wisdom means that you have the ability to think through in a responsive way to any set of circumstances that you are confronted with. Let me just say that again. You have the ability to respond. You are responsible to deal with whatever circumstances that come that you're confronted with. You do not react to things. It's not reacting. It's not emotionally allowing yourself to lose control and to take actions that you are one day are going to regret, but to respond in a manner that comes from a place of rational thought and wisdom, that looks for answers, that does not allow the emotion of the moment to dictate your action. That's the key. That's the key to wisdom. And then the courage to take the steps necessary to achieve the things that you see are necessary for your life to have fulfillment. That's it. That's it. There is no woman required. You don't need to go out in the world and find wisdom and courage. You have it. You were born with it. It's your birthright. That's who you are as a man. You have wisdom and you have courage. You need to draw upon these things. Now, if you have not been drawing upon wisdom and courage for a long time, well, you might need to work out a little bit. You might need a little bit of exercise on those areas. You might need to focus some energy on becoming more wise and more courageous in your life. It starts with the understanding that we are all alone all the time. So complaining about aloneness is like complaining about breathing. You cannot not breathe, just like you cannot not be alone. Now, you can invite people into your life and you can enjoy their company, but that does not prevent you from being alone. You are still alone in your mind. The only thing that overcomes aloneness is your ability to reach out with compassion and kindness and love to other people. And even under those circumstances, you're still alone in your behaviors. You're still alone in your head. You're still alone in your consciousness. But by trying to connect with people through positive interactions, it alleviates the sensation of aloneness. But it does not make you less alone. When you feel like you need, like you are deficient, you have a lack in your life that you cannot fulfill yourself, and that you need something outside of you in order to feel complete or in order to have it, then you are creating loneliness. You are creating a sense of deficiency. And it could be for money, it could be for sex, it could be for anything that you can think of. If you think that you're not whole unless you have that, then you are making yourself weak. Plain and simple, you are making yourself weak. And in that weakness, there is vulnerability. And that vulnerability is going to cause you to sleepwalk into a marriage that you had no business being in to begin with. And one day you're going to reflect on it and you're going to go, what the hell am I doing in this relationship? How did I get into these circumstances? And you do not want to have that situation. You do not want to have that. That is the whole reason why the vast majority of relationships fail. We can certainly point our fingers at women and at feminism and at the culture and society, and all those things are going to do what they're going to do. You cannot change those things. They are what they are. But you can change yourself. You can become a stronger, healthier, better man. And when you embrace your wisdom and your courage, then you become that man. You are on your road to becoming that man. You do not need anything outside of you to become wise or to become courageous. It's inside you. Find it. Live in that place. Be that. And you will find that things in your life get a lot better. That the pain of being alone starts to subside. That society's demands upon you become secondary. The need for a woman is no longer a need. It's something that would be, might be fun to have, might not be. It's just like, am I going to order pizza or not? It's not something that makes or breaks your life. And once you can get to that place, now you're in control. Now you have a masculine frame. You may not have gotten the job of your life. You may not have put money in the bank. You may not have your whole life built out the way I talk about in the masculine frame talks. But you have a masculine frame when you're living from a place of courage and wisdom. For as long as I can remember, relationships have been idealized in my own mind, and I didn't get that internally. That was something that was externally placed there by society, by my family, by my friends, by my observations of people in the world. I believed that the whole point of life was creating a pair bond with another person, ideally a woman in my case. But that was my belief. It was my belief. That was an idealization that was implanted in my brain to make me think that was what I needed to be successful in life. And that is not true. That is a falsehood. There are lots and lots of examples of people, human beings, men, women, whatever, who have lived completely fulfilling lives without ever having had that experience. So don't believe that pair bonding is an you know, the automatic, that that's the way things go, that that's the default setting. It's not. It's not. It's just what we believe to be true. And once you release that belief, you'll find that it no longer controls you. You've got to let go of it. Loneliness is a disease, plain and simple. It's like a plague that dismantles our autonomy. It dismantles our authenticity. When we believe we are lonely, we will do anything to change that state. It's like we're suffering from some kind of an illness, and we will try to heal ourselves. But unfortunately, the process of healing only makes the disease worse. Because when we seek out that person or whatever it is that we think we need in order to make ourselves feel less lonely, all we're doing is feeding the addiction, the idea that we are not whole and complete on our own. That's the healthy approach. You know that you're healthy and complete on your own. And the idea that you're lonely is a direct affront to that idea. So becoming comfortable, becoming at one with your aloneness is the primary step that most of us have to take before we can reach any level of fulfillment in our lives. You must come to terms with being alone. If you cannot do this, it's not because you're broken. It's because you're just not understanding the value and the mere fact that you've been alone all this time. You've always been alone. Yeah, even when you were growing up, your parents may have been there, but you were still alone. You were still alone in your head. There is no one there to really feel what you feel. There's no one there to really see what you see, to understand what it is to be you. There is no one who will ever get that. And we need to stop telling ourselves that we need that in order to be complete. You don't. You don't. You are enough. This experience of being human, of being here and alive, is unique to you. There may be 8 billion of us here, but there are 8 billion unique experiences happening. And you need to understand that your unique experience is valuable, but only to you. Sharing it with other people, bragging about it, talking about it, you know, bed pillow talk with your wife, whatever, with your lovers, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just entertainment. It doesn't influence the outcome. You're still going to be alone. So just embrace it. Enjoy it. Find peace and, I don't know, comfort in your aloneness. And not only will you find that it's peaceful and comfortable, but you'll find that it gives you a lot of joy. I mean, that being physically away from other people can give you space to achieve and to think and to reflect and to grow. And then when you get together with other people, you're a better person. You don't ever grow from a state of loneliness. You will never become a better man if you experience loneliness. If loneliness has control over you, it will always control you. It will have dominion in your life. It will dictate to you the terms of your life. So think about that. Loneliness is your enemy. It's not a natural state. It is a disease state. Here's the part that's going to be kind of hard for a lot of guys to hear, because this requires doing a post-mortem on your relationships and your marriage. And yes, you can easily point your finger at her all you want. And you know, if that's the way you're going to approach this, then you're not going to get the value from it. You cannot change her. You can only change yourself. So she's out of your life now. So now what are you bringing to the table? How did you grow from this experience? Because when you reflect on this relationship, you've got to go all the way back to the beginning, to when it started. You can't just focus on the end. You've got to go all the way back to the beginning when it started. And you've got to come to terms with who were you at that time and what was your motivation for getting into this relationship? Really. Because if you were coming at this relationship from a place of weakness, from a place of loneliness, from a place of not being good enough, then it's inevitable that this relationship was going to fail eventually. Whether it failed in divorce or it failed in just some kind of, you know, dysfunctional relationship, doesn't matter. It's still a failure. It's still a failure either way. So if you're still married and you are hating your life, well, you're in a failed relationship. You just haven't done anything about it yet. The relationship is a mirror that we hold up to ourselves. And when you see it that way, you can grow from it. You will find wisdom in it. When you see clearly your role in the destruction of your marriage, you will begin to start the process of becoming wise. because it's only through that process of understanding what caused you to get into this thing from the beginning. Where was the disease of not feeling whole and loneliness and the need for something external that drove you into this relationship that clearly was not appropriate? It's too easy to blame someone outside of yourself for your circumstances. It's a cop-out. At the end of the day, it's a cop-out because your life is your own. And so long as someone else has control over your life, you are fooling yourself. Because at the end of the day, like I said, you're alone in there. It's all you, man. There's no one else to share it with. There's no one else to blame when it goes wrong. So you are the one who has created these circumstances that you now find yourself in. There is no reason to feel shame. There is no reason to feel like, you know, you're not good enough, like you're unworthy. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that remove the emotion, remove all of the, you know, connotation from it, and just see it factually for what it is and how it impacted you. What were you thinking? How were you feeling? What was the reasons? What was the rationale? Start to look at it piece by piece and start to draw a timeline for yourself that is not based on innuendo or emotion or what she did or what they did, but more on what you did and why did you do it? And why did you take those steps? Why did you make those decisions? Because it was those decisions more than any other that led you to this outcome, whatever that outcome may be. The opportunity here is to see your opportunities for growth. That's really what it is. It's your opportunities for growth. From a place of wisdom and courage, how do you change this scenario? If you could go back and relive the whole thing from a place of wisdom and courage, how would it have been different? Perhaps you would not have married her. Perhaps you would have chosen someone else. Perhaps you would have waited. Perhaps you would have gotten more mature. Perhaps you would have accumulated some wealth. You would have become more secure in your life. Perhaps you would have made completely different decisions and your life would be completely different today. Now, obviously, we can't go back and change time, but we can start today living our lives from a place of wisdom and courage and making decisions that are going to carry us in the directions that we want to go. You don't necessarily need to have a whole giant pile of money in the bank in order to live a fulfilling life. You don't need to have the career that you would ideally like to be fulfilled in your life. But you do need to be able to live your life from a place of wisdom and courage, because when you can do that consistently, day in and day out, you create a habit of becoming a wise, courageous man, then you will make good decisions from that point forward. Positive things are going to happen to you. Opportunities are going to be made available to you, and you're going to take action on those things, and you're going to find that your life becomes more and more fulfilling every single day. People are going to see that wisdom and courage in you, and they're going to admire you for it. This is what it means to be a masculine man. This is the essence of it. This is the, when you boil it all down to just what does it mean to be a masculine man, it has nothing to do with women. It has nothing to do with feminism. It has nothing to do with culture or dating apps or any of that bullshit. This is all extraneous stuff. You live your life from the inside out. That's really critical. You have to understand that and understand what that means, that you are projecting into the world who you are every single minute. And the world is adapting to you all the time. And so when you're projecting out into the world wisdom and courage, the world is going to respond to you as a wise and courageous man. Do you understand that? You don't get in life what you want. You get in life what you are. Like what you are, how you deliver, how you appear, how you come to this world. This is the energy that attracts to you the things that are in alignment with that. That is the critical element that I think most people don't understand. They think that by wanting something, that they can want themselves into it. But more often than not, that wanting is just creating a deficiency. It's creating a deficit. It's saying that I don't have this. I can't have this. This is not a present for me. This doesn't exist in my world because I want it. Well, everything that you want comes from within. And when you come to you show up, you come to the world and you show up as a wise, courageous man, you no longer want for anything. You are fulfilled. You are whole. You are everything that you need to be in this moment. And when you have that frame of mind and when you approach the world with that perspective, everything else falls into line. Everything else does. There are lots of ways to get to this place. I found myself coming to these insights through losing everything, through living my life through life 1.0, all the way to divorce. You know, psychologists say that the biggest traumatic events that can occur in a person's life are the death of a loved one, a divorce, losing your job, moving your home. These are the biggest stressful events. All of those events happened to me in a relatively short period of time. So I understand from that experience that the things that I had given value to outside of me, my house, my wife, my job, all of those things that I had valued so highly were meaningless at the end of the day. They caused me a great pain when I lost them. But that pain was not because I lost those things. My pain was because of my beliefs that these things were necessary for me to be complete. That's what caused me the pain. Not that the things were gone. Because quite frankly, I hated the job. The marriage wasn't working. The house was too expensive and took up too much space, and it didn't mean that much to me at the end of the day. You know, we had lived there for 20 years. And you know, with the whole real estate bubble back in 2008, most of our equity got thrown out the window, you know, so it was worthless. But it was just what I thought that those things meant to me. That's what drove me crazy. That's what caused me pain. That's what made me sad. That's what made me feel like I was in deficit, that I was missing something. But once I had been free of all that stuff, and I was walking around in the woods with the dogs, and I realized how free I was, and how I was glad I didn't have that job anymore, and I still had a nice place to live, you know, and the fact that my wife left me turned out to be a good thing, you know, it gave me a lot of content to talk about on YouTube. But you see what I mean? Like, it's our clinging mentally, psychologically, to the idea that these things have value that causes us pain. It's not the things themselves. And so when you can see that and you can let go of these things and just be free of them without the necessity of clinging, well, then it's just one more thing. It's just one more lesson in life. It's just one more pizza. You know what I mean? It just doesn't seem to matter that much anymore. It's just another event. It's just a random set of circumstances. And now here you are. And what are you going to do next? You're going to bring your wisdom and your courage to these sets of circumstances, and you're going to start over. You're going to recreate your life. You're going to find a path forward for yourself. But you're coming from a wholeness, not from a deficit. You're coming from a place of, I got this. You know, I know that I project out into the world those things that are necessary for me to achieve the things that I want, that I need, that I desire in my life. And it's not because I am deficient in those things. It was because these things would make my life more enjoyable. It would be fun. All right, you guys, I think I've said enough. I'd like to know what your thoughts are in the comments. I know this is kind of a off the topic kind of topic, but I think it's really important. And when I talked to that guy this morning, I wanted to go on. He just had a 15-minute consultation, and I knew I had a lot to get done today, so I couldn't continue talking to him. But I could see the fear of divorcing this woman that he clearly did not want to live with anymore, that he clearly did not want to be married to anymore. And it was the fear of loneliness. And I thought, man, you just can't allow that to control you, you know? You can't allow that to make yourself miserable, because you just carry that out 5, 10, 20 years down the road, and it's like, oh my God, imagine how miserable he's gonna be if he's already feeling this just a couple years into a marriage, you know? If he already knows that she's not the right one, he's already thinking, why did I make this decision? Why did I do this? 2 years in, he's already thinking that. Imagine after 20 years, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's just a kind of punishment that we do to ourselves because of these ideas that we have that we need something to make us feel whole. It's all crazy, it's insane. Anyway, that's all I got. I hope you've enjoyed the video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you wanna sign up for coaching, go to my website at johnsgriffin.com. You can do the free consultation like the guy did this morning. But if you wanna sign up, please let me know. You can reach me at john@johnsgriffin.com. If you can't find a time in the calendar that's there, just let me know. I can usually make some arrangements for you specifically. Anyway, till next time, remember, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.